Do you have your Bibles with you this morning? Raise them up, would you? Okay, if you don't have your Bible, remember next week to bring it. This is why you come, not just to see each other, but to listen to what God says. Open, please, to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. That's page 1012, if you got the right Bible. Your Bible will probably be different. Your translation may even be different, but the text will be the same. John chapter 10, let's read, because we have a problem. It could be a major problem understanding this passage. John chapter 10, verse 1, I assure you, Jesus is speaking, anyone who doesn't enter the sheep pen by the door but climbs up some other way is a thief and a robber. Now the one who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The doorkeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, leads them out. When he has brought all of his own sheep, outside, he goes ahead of them. The sheep follow him because they recognize his voice. They will never follow a stranger. Instead, they will run away from him because they don't recognize the voice of strangers. Now, Jesus gave this illustration or parable or proverb, but they didn't get it. They didn't understand what he was telling them. And that same thing could happen this morning. Hope not. So Jesus said again, I assure you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will come in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it in abundance. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired man, since he is not the shepherd, doesn't own the sheep. He leaves them and runs away when he sees a wolf coming. The wolf then snatches and scatters them. This happens because he's a hired man and he doesn't care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me as the Father knows me and I know the Father. Whoa, wait a minute. Let's read that again. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me as the Father knows me. And I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep, but I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. Then there will be one flock, one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I am laying down my life so I may take it up again. No man takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have the right to lay it down, and I have the right to take it up again. I've received this command from my Father. Verse 19 says, another division took place among the Jews because of these words. Many of them says, he has a demon, he's crazy. Why do you listen to him? Others were saying, these aren't the words of someone demon-possessed. Can a demon open the eyes of a man born blind? About 10 weeks pass. Verse 22. Then the festival of dedication, or we would call it Hanukkah today. Then the festival of Hanukkah took place in Jerusalem, and it was winter. Jesus was walking in the temple complex in Solomon's colonnade. Then the Jews surrounded him and asked, how long are you going to keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I did tell you, and you didn't believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you don't believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life. They will never perish, ever. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one. Houston, we have a problem this morning. What is this? How many of you ever raised sheep? Raise your hands. That's what I was afraid of. That's exactly the problem. That is exactly the problem. You don't know nothing about sheep. And in this passage, it says you are one. So I bought little reminders this morning to try to keep you awake. These are not real sheep, but they are to remind us that Jesus was speaking to a culture of people where sheep were dominantly important. Let me tell you some things about sheep that I know. They're very, very limited in their IQs. Very limited. Let me tell you something else. They're pretty much defenseless. They don't have fangs to bite. They don't have stingers. They don't have claws. They're pretty much a walk of hunk and sweet meat for any wolf. And they have no defense, and they can't run fast. They're pretty helpless. They are desperately dependent upon their shepherd. Now, shepherds, you probably don't know a shepherd. A shepherd is simply someone who shepherds. That is, he herds sheep. That's what he does. He takes care of them. Jesus likened himself to the shepherder, the shepherd. And he said, I'm the good shepherd. Notice, the good shepherd. And there's only one good shepherd. Only Jesus can do for the sheep what he claims to do and promises to do in this passage. The problem with most of us, maybe some of you particularly, you don't see yourself as a sheep. You think you're smart. You think you're strong. You think you ain't never going to get sick. You think you're never going to die. You think you got all the answers to the world. You know squat, friend. You know squat. I was trying to make people understand that. And let me see if it work here. Are you standing still now? No. You are racing through space at about 1,000,000 miles a second. Hello? You thought you were sitting here. No, you're actually in a spin, and our Earth is not in a spin. It's in an orbit around the sun, and that sun is in an orbit within our galaxy. And our galaxy is hurtling through space in connection with millions of other galaxies, some much larger than ours. And all that's taking place in what we glibly call space. See, you can't control that. You never thought about that. And you thought you knew everything. And you thought you were in control. My dear friend, when Jesus likened people, us, you, and those in his audience to sheep, he was right on. You is a sheep. And you know what? Being a sheep's a dangerous thing. Sitting on the porch last night, thinking about all of this, watching the sunset, and we feed birds at our house, we have for years. So we have lots of wonderful birds, and sometimes the serenade of the birds singing is just marvelous, just incredible. Tricene loves to sit in the family room there, look out the picture window, and watch all these birds come. Well, wherever you have birds, and they're much like sheep, in fact, they're smarter than sheep in many ways, Wherever you have sheep, wherever you have birds, you're going to have wolves, thieves. And they don't care about the sheep. All they see is lamb chops. And they got teeth, and they got claws. I was sitting there last night wondering, Lord, how am I going to impress this distinguished group of believers? How am I going to impress them that they're sheep, that they desperately need a shepherd? Almost on clue, my porch faces north, the bird feeder's in the back. Two birds came whirling around the corner of the house. I saw one of them. One was a tiny, looked like maybe a finch or a small bluebird, something, doing its best. And behind it was a hawk. Now, it was less than 10 seconds. The little bird did its best, flew in among the leaves of one of the trees in the front yard, and the hawk backed up. When that little bird came out the other side of those trees, bang! I mean, you could hear the thud. And suddenly there weren't two flying, there was one taking his meal home. And somewhere in that woods out there, there was probably another little finch or whatever it was, waiting, 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 waiting for her supper. You're like that little finch. And there are astute, wise, powerful hawks in our world. It's not fun to watch that happen. I found myself empathizing for the little bird. And then I remember one day when my granddaughter, she's about that tall at that time, and I were going to go around and fill the bird feeders. And we'd come to the edge of the house, and as we stepped around the corner, wham, there was a hawk. He was chasing a small bird on the fly. When we stepped around the corner, suddenly we stepped in a wilder place, and he instantly went on attack. And there, less than 3 feet away from my face, were a set of five claws that I'll never forget, and a set of piercing eyes looking at me and thinking, that's a little too big for me to take on for lunch. And so he zipped the way he went. Those babies, they're really skillful flyers. Now, I've seen the hawk face to face, and frankly, without a ball bat or a shotgun, I don't want to see any others that close. They are real dangerous predators. And you, my friend, are surrounded by real dangerous predators. Robbers, thieves, Jesus talks about wolf. Now, there's one other part of this story we won't get it unless we understand it. What is a sheepfold? Well, every village in Jesus' day had a sheepfold. It was a walled enclosure, walled all the way around, with one opening. And that opening was usually rather narrow, sometimes 3 feet, sometimes four. And what would happen, the shepherds who lived in the village would bring their flocks at night, put them inside the sheep fold. Someone would be the doorkeeper. And in many cases, they actually spent the night sleeping in that doorway to protect the sheep. It's been about 40 years ago. Nathan Meyer was our host. Tricina and I were on one of our first trips to Israel. Outside the old wall, back then, there was a sheep fold. And as shepherds would come to the city of Jerusalem to do their business, They would bring their flocks many times to trade, barter, sell, and they would turn their flocks over to the doorman. Now, that enclosure there at the city was probably the size of this auditorium. And when the shepherd would bring his flock, the flock would walk over where the rest of the sheep were over in the corner, and they were safe. They were safe. We're standing there when a shepherd came back. I wouldn't believe this if I hadn't seen it. He walked through the door, and he spoke all over that little flock or that big flock of sheep. Those heads popped up. Not all of them. And not only did the heads pop up, but those whose heads popped up began to make their way through the crowded rest of the sheep over to the door where the shepherd waited for his sheep. What a beautiful picture. That's the picture Jesus begins with. Jesus begins with what every shepherd did every morning. He went to the sheepfold, and he would whistle, call, speak, and the sheep that belonged to him would recognize the voice of the shepherd and would leave the rest of the flock who didn't move, come over, meet the shepherd. The doorman would permit the shepherd to take his sheep out. That's the first picture in this trilogy. Do you know Jesus as your shepherd? In the technology, in the detail of what he's telling, the doorman there would have been John the Baptist. He was the one who was sent by God to baptize people and to call the nation of Israel to a state of repentance in preparation for John to introduce Jesus to the nation of Israel as the Messiah. That's what John did, and he did it very well. And he was enormously popular, and hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people came to John down to River Jordan and confessed their sin, were baptized, as an outward demonstration of their preparation of heart to follow Jesus as the Messiah. Now, they didn't know Jesus was the Messiah yet. He had given no clues for 30 years. He had just been an apprentice carpenter living up there in Nazareth with his family, his mother Mary, and his brothers and sisters. Probably a good carpenter. Probably very honest. Undoubtedly a man of integrity, but not God. And you remember John said to the people on the bank, now listen, this Messiah is among us. I'm going to present him to you. That's my job. And then he must increase, and I will decrease. That's exactly what happened. So in the narrative, Jesus was reminding the people that there had been a keeper of the fold being Judaism. There was a keeper of the fold, and he had identified Jesus publicly as the Messiah. There had been a very unique baptism experience that Jesus had had at the hands of John. You remember that? And then the Spirit of God took Jesus away to the wilderness, and when Jesus came back after the temptation with Satan, John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And one by one, John's disciples begin to follow Jesus. That's the historic background to this narrative. But every shepherd throughout the whole land of Israel in Jesus' day knew exactly what Jesus was saying. Now, Jesus made it very clear. Listen to me carefully. Sheep don't volunteer to become followers of Jesus. You need to recognize his voice. And Jesus made some pretty blunt statements in a number of the times when he was preaching and doing miracles. He said, no man comes to me except the Father draw him. But those who the Father draws will come. Are you hearing somebody else besides me this morning? In your heart and soul, are you hearing a voice? Are you hearing a message? Is this making sense? Does this have strategic importance to you? Do you set up when the Word of God is read? If so, then you're one of his sheep. Jesus said, in this situation, I come to lead my sheep out of the fold. What in the world does that mean? Well, you'll notice a few verses later, he talks about there are other folds. Did you see that? Did you notice that while reading along? Just notice that. He says, there's not just this fold here, just Judaism. Look at it. It's verse 16. I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice. Then there will be one flock, one shepherd. What's that mean? Well, that means there were other devices God had prepared where people, also sheep, people were finding identity, direction, but they were listening for a voice they hadn't heard. And that voice was the voice of Jesus. Now, we can identify some of those sheep from other folds. For instance, have you thought of anybody yet? How about Cornelius? He was a Gentile centurion. Ah, you're saying, yeah, but he wasn't saved during Jesus' lifetime. That's true. But he did come to know Christ as his Savior through the ministry of Peter. Remember that? And there are others, when you think about it, that you can already identify as people who were Gentiles, not Jews. They weren't part, didn't grow up in the Jewish system. They were part of other folds, other cultures. And yet Jesus loved them too. And he promised that he would seek and find them also. They would respond to his voice, and they would leave their folds and become part of his flock. Now, nowhere in the passage does it say that the sheep that Jesus led out of the fold go back into the fold. It says that those sheep follow the shepherd, and the shepherd and the sheep make up a new entity. Of course, you already knew that, didn't you? Well, that's the first thing Jesus says. And he's speaking in the company of the man who had been born blind, whom Jesus gave sight, physical and then spiritual. The man was born again, trusted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And because of that, the official big shots in the Jewish fold kicked him out. Jesus went and found him and said, yep, you belong to me. Follow me, follow me, follow me. And there'll be others like you who will come from other folds who will hear my voice and will follow me, and we will form a new flock, one flock, where Jew and Gentile, where black and yellow, where brown and white, all are equal in a new relationship with God through the merits and benefits of Jesus Christ. So Jesus calls out from Judaism people who will follow him. Well, at least 11 of the 12 apostles would be among them. Mary undoubtedly was among them, and others that he called out. Second thing Jesus mentions is, all who came before me are thieves and robbers. He said, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. See that? This is midday for the shepherd and the sheep. They've left the fold of the past. They're out now somewhere where grass is growing and there are cool brooks for the sheep to drink and places to lie down. This experience is best captured for us by David when he described what it was like to be a sheep in the fold of the shepherd. Remember what he said? The Lord is my shepherd, so I don't lack anything. Everything I will ever need or could ever need, the shepherd will provide. That's David the sheep talking about following the shepherd. And he goes on to say, he, the shepherd, makes me lie down in green pastures. That is, he makes me rest. Sheep are sometimes, like humans, crazy about activity, and they don't get enough rest. The wise shepherd makes them lie down. It's always near still water, not rushing water like the old Intangi, but still water, because sheep don't like moving water. They sense a danger, and it is dangerous. Were they to slip and fall in sleeping water with all that wool, goodbye, sheepy. So they only drink where the water is calm, and the shepherd knows that. So the shepherd finds these places where there's grass, where there's cool, where they can lie down, where they can rest, where they can digest what they've been eating and catch a nap. The shepherd also is with them if they go through the valley of the shadow of death, in the presence of danger. The shepherd is with them, and the shepherd guarantees for them safety and provision. That's what the rod and the staff are all about. See, David described that in Psalm 23. And that's the picture in this second paragraph. It's Jesus with his sheep. And what does the door mean when Jesus says, I am the door? If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And he will come in and go out and find pasture. To come in and go out simply means to move around, and he will find pasture. Why? Because the shepherd will lead him to pasture. It's a picture of the shepherd providing for the sheep that are under his care. They're out in the middle of the wild someplace, and the shepherd is the security for the sheep. Notice what he says. A thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it in abundance. That means the shepherd has promised to provide everything for each sheep that belongs to him, everything they need in abundance. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's a promise. And it's a promise that the shepherd exercises constantly. The idea of the door, I was thinking about that. A couple of years ago, Tricina and I were down at Washington, say it correctly here to you Ohioans, Washington. We're down at a conference, and a page showed up. A page is somebody that works for a representative or a congressman. Showed up at the conference, located us, and said, here's an invitation. So-and-so wants you to come to his office. He'll be expecting you at 10 tomorrow morning. I thought, do I say, forget it, I'm not interested, I can't go. He could have me arrested and brought. So, we'll go. Next morning, transportation was waiting for us. We were taken down. When we got there, the page met us, took us up to the office. And this representative said, good to see you all. Jim, come in my office. The rest of you stay here in my outer office. Enjoy yourself to the coffee. Went in and we had conversation. That led to lunch. where I met Representative so-and-so and Senator so-and-so and two Supreme Court justices. Now, listen, that's pretty tall grass for a hillbilly. When we had finished, he said, "So nice to have you here. See you back in Columbus." My point is this. I don't belong in that space. It's his space. But since I know him and he knows me, he becomes a door, an opportunity to meet people that you read about in your newspaper every day. Let me say it a different way. I've been invited to come down to the court. Craig Wright was one of the big shots then. Craig was a member of church, personal friend. And when I walked into the outer office downstairs, a very gracious lady said, "May I help you?" I said, "I'm here at the invitation of Judge Craig Wright." "Oh, just a moment." And it was amazing what that door provided for me. You get my point? That's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, for the sheep, I am the door. I am the source of everything that sheep will ever need. And I will provide for that sheep abundance of life. Think about it. Eternal life. A home in heaven. God, the Holy Spirit, living inside you right now. Ability to read and understand and grasp what this wonderful book says about God. An ability to pray and know that you're praying. I mean, it goes on and 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 on. Abundance of life. During the day, the shepherd is the door for the sheep. He is the key to their food, to their safety, to their rest, to their health, to their protection. My friend, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, as your personal shepherd? In the next portion, we come to the evening of a shepherd's life. When he's out with the sheep, he's gone so far to get green grass they can't get back to the village and back to the fold that day, and so they hunker down out there in the wilderness. And here's the shepherd's duty there. "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. They know me. I lay down my life for the sheep." That's exactly what he did. He laid down his life for the sheep. Many shepherds lost their lives trying to defend the flock from wolves, bears. Remember David's story? Remember? He talked about that. Jesus knew the risk, and he undertook the burden, and he laid down his life for his sheep. Read on. "This is why the Father loves me, because I am laying down my life so I may take it again." What's that mean? That means resurrection. Jesus is here announcing his coming death and resurrection. He is saying that next spring, this is now December, October, September, during those two feasts, and Jesus is saying, next spring, I'm going to die. I'm not going to die because I'm overpowered. I'm not going to die because I'm weak. I'm going to die because I choose to die. Because if I don't die, my sheep cannot be saved. What is it about the sheep that requires his death? It's the fact that we're sinners. Selfish. Egotistically proud. Arrogant. Boastful. Self-determined. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've each done our own thing. But God has laid on him, on Jesus, the Lamb of God, the iniquity of us all. And that's what that means. That means Jesus has done something for you, my friend, that you can't do for yourself. It means that Jesus has done something for you no politician can do. It means no preacher can do for you what Jesus did. It means nobody in the universe can do for you what he did, and he's already done it. You don't get to vote on that, whether you like it or don't. Jesus has paid the price for your sins by offering up his life in your stead. And not just your sins and my sins, but the sins of the whole world. 1 John 2, you saw it on the screen this morning. 1 John chapter 2 says that Jesus not only paid the price and forgave us of our sins, but Jesus paid the price of sin for whosoever will. The sins of the whole world. So there's nobody that's ever lived and sinned, nobody who is living today and sins, who has to pay the penalty for their sins. Somebody else took that penalty, but you have to receive it. You have to follow him. You have to commit to him. And that marvelous last part where Jesus says, listen, my sheep are secure. I have them in my hand, and my Father has them in his hand. And no one is greater than my Father. My Father and I are one. Ain't no place in the universe safer than being a sheep under the care of Shepherd Jesus. No Satan, no demon, nothing can separate you from the power of the gift of God's grace and love. My friend, won't you follow Jesus? You lose nothing and you gain everything. I am, Jesus said, the good shepherd. I give my life for the sheep. I provide everything the sheep need. Will you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior? And if you already trust him, will you trust him completely and give him leadership of your life? Father, take this message from your word. Help us to love King Jesus and respect and respond to his leadership, to listen to his voice, to be obedient to him. Help us, please help us to obey you, Lord Jesus. And verse 1 this morning, 2, 3, perhaps a dozen or more here who have never committed themselves to Jesus Christ, who've never responded to your invitation to follow you. I pray that this morning they would make that commitment to you. And for all of us who have made that commitment, some 6 weeks, 6 hours, 6 years, some 60, some longer than that ago, I pray that we would learn to be more obedient and more trusting of our great shepherd, Jesus Christ. In his name I pray, amen.